The 17th annual Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue Rally kicks off tomorrow in Fayetteville. Thousands of bikers from around the country will travel to Northwest Arkansas to ride through the Ozarks, listen to live music, and wander through rows and rows of food and merchandise vendors. Among the several booths being set up along Dixon Street is one for Bikers Against Child Abuse. Hawkeye and Magnum, two members of the Northwest Arkansas BACA chapter, recently came to the Carver Center for Public Radio to talk to Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. They shared more information about the organization's mission, and they explained how bikers obtained their road names.
As a befits the motorcycle community, everybody gets a road name. It's kind of like a nickname in groups sometimes. But in our organization, it's done for security reasons. Our personal identification is kept secure, as well as the children's. Their names, when we bring children into the program, they get to pick a name. And the sidebar to that is that if you don't pick your name, we'll pick one for you. So when you first sign up as a member, you know, a supporter, you're given the opportunity to bring your own name, your own nickname in as your road name. And then the kids oftentimes, you know, they have a lot of fun picking theirs.
Okay. So did you pick your own or did somebody pick yours?
Oh, I've had Hawkeye off and on since I was a kid because I was a big fan of James Fenimore Cooper. I'm from New York. And that's all set in the Hudson River Valley initially. And Hawkeye was a nickname I picked up because I was pretty keen vision, sharpshooter. So I kept it rather than them picking one for me.
What about you?
I got mine. I was a fighter pilot in the Air Force for a long time. And when we'd go to the gunnery range, we were given a gun number that was our personal gun number. And it was how the range would get our scores back to the squadron. And my gun number was 44. And so that's where the Magnum came from.
Well, how did you get into the biker world?
Well, the biker thing, since I was a kid, I started riding when I was 14. I love motorcycles. I never thought of myself as a biker per se, just a motorcyclist. But my background is such that I grew up in an abuse environment. So I sympathize with the mission of BACA. And I was under the misconception that you had to have a Harley to be in BACA. And for several years, I wanted to participate, but that kept me out. Now, I finally ran into somebody that was familiar with them more than I was. And, what are you talking about? And I went to a bike night at Jose's, and a month later I was in a chapter meeting, and here I am 8 years later.
So didn't have to have a Harley.
No. You do have to have a motorcycle.
Well, what do you
if
have?
If you want to be a patched member. Mm-hmm. I have a Honda 1300, VTX 1300.
Okay.
But it has to be at least 650 cc's to travel with us on the highways and so forth. You know, but it doesn't matter what brand it is. It can be a Honda or a Yamaha or what have you. But there are a lot of Harleys.
And Magnum, how did you get into the world of motorcycles?
Well, I have a Harley. No, I had ridden when I was a teenager and then put that on hold when I started my professional career. I was in the military and then an airline pilot. And when I retired, I was looking for something to do that would simulate those things that I did in my real job. And a motorcycle was about the closest thing you could come to it. And so I bought the motorcycle, and I happened to run into these guys out at the ballpark. One weekend, they were doing a public relations event at the ballpark. And one of the guys I knew from riding with the Patriot Guard, which I had done that previous year. And so I got him to tell me, you know, all about it and where I could show up for the meeting, and showed up and ended up joining.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the background or maybe the history of Bikers Against Child Abuse?
Sure. It was started in 1995. By a clinical social worker up in Utah who went by the road name of Chief. And he was noticing that his kids he was working with would make good progress during the time he had them. But then when they would go home for the weekend, they'd get exposed again to the perpetrator or to the rough situation they were in, and they would regress, and he was virtually having to start all over. he had had somewhat of a troubled past and had been befriended by some bikers who had kind of straightened him out and put him on the right road. And so it occurred to him that maybe this was something he could do to help these kids. And he started out with a young boy, a child, who had been abused. And he called his friends and said, you know, maybe you guys can come help me bring some comfort to this child. And he said 23 motorcycles showed up for the first ride, and that's how he started it, and noticed an improvement right away in how the child was responding to the therapy then when he worked with him during the week.
And so today, members get connected with children? Is it kind of like...
The way it works is that there's two levels of participation for us. You're either a supporter or a patch member. The patches are what the motorcycle community calls earned patches. When you come in, you have to submit to a background check. We do two different background checks on our people. And then you have to ride with the chapter for a minimum of a year. And during that year, you undergo training on how we do our mission. And the chapter gets a chance to look at you and see if you're a good fit, see if you're someone who works well with children and works well with bikers, because we ride in both communities. And if that happens, then the board has to approve it, and then the chapter has to approve it. And at that point, you get your patch. Once you become a patch member, then the biggest thing that happens for you is you can become a primary contact to a child. We call that a PC. When a child comes into the program, they have to be referred to us. They generally come from the parent or guardian, but that parent or guardian gets information from the Child Safety Center or the Children's Shelter or from the CAC or sometimes the police, sometimes the prosecutors will tell them about us. And we'll get that call. We'll evaluate the situation of the child, and then we'll do an initial visit. We'll take a few of the board members, and we'll go and we'll visit with that family, and we'll visit with the child. Our main purpose is to try to relieve the fear that the child has based upon the abuse that has occurred. We're not so much concerned with the abuse as we are as how the child is responding to that. If they're in fear, and sometimes the fear is very high, then they are a candidate for our program, because that's what we concentrate on, is relieving that fear. And we do that by bringing them into the biker community. We have four levels of intervention. The first one is a level one, and that's where we take the entire chapter and we ride to the child's house or sometimes a park. And we bring the child into the family. We give him some gifts. We give him a teddy bear that's dressed in a Baca jacket. He gets to pick his own road name. He gets a vest like ours. And we bring him into that family and make him understand that we are now his brothers and sisters. And we're here to make sure that he's not afraid anymore. And from that point, we go forward with the PCs. The PCs will then take over, and they will make regular contact with the child and with the family to see how they're doing. And then if it requires more intervention by the entire chapter, then we take the entire chapter and we ride again and comfort that child, make them feel safe. And one of the other things we do is we go to court with them, which is very important. There can't be more of a fearful place for an abused child than to sitting on a witness stand looking at the perpetrator, looking at the guy or the girl who hurt him. And with us there, we give him that assurance that it's okay. It's okay for him to tell the court what happened. An interesting incident happened out in Arizona, where it was a young girl, and the judge, before the attorneys were allowed to question her, said, "I have a question for you." And his question was, "Are you afraid?" And she looked at him with kind of a funny look, and she went, "No." And he said, "Why not?" And she said, "Because my friends are scarier than he is." And that's what we're about, is creating that atmosphere where the child feels safe.
In similar mentorship programs, I know the volunteer has to commit to a certain amount of time. Big Brothers Big Sisters, I think they commit to a year. Is it similar for you with your PCs?
We don't have a set number, but you can put in a lot of time before you realize it. You know, it's just you're on call 24/7. As Magna mentioned, the levels of intervention. A level two is when the child or family environment has changed, the house situation or whatever, to where the child is in fear of whoever the perpetrator was. And our mission is to not only make them feel comfortable, but to empower them. We will do a 24/7 watch at the house. We actually establish a perimeter and set up camp outside and secure the property until the level, the threat level has reduced. And that's to make the kid feel safe in their bed. And our hope is that whatever child we bring in, that someday they don't need us anymore. They stand on their own and find a place to put the past in their heart or what have you, and move on with their life.
And that's actually in our mission statement, mm-hmm. you know, that we're here to empower children not to be afraid of the world in which they live. And as a result of that, the accomplishment of our mission is when the child can turn to us and say, I don't need you anymore. And at that point, we go away because our mission is accomplished. We've empowered that child to move forward with his life and put this behind him.
When organizations deal with children, there's often a lot of required training. What kind of training do you guys have to?
Our training is extensive. We're an international organization. We're in all 50 states and 8 countries. And we have a department, essentially, in the international organization that puts together all of our training. And as you can imagine, many of these people are educators. We got several PhDs that write this material for us.
Clinical psychologists.
Clinical
and
psychologists,
so
social workers, the whole gamut. And so this is part of what that supporter goes through that first year. And then all of us as patch members go through continually the rest of the time. Every year we have an international conference where the entire Baca Nation gets together. And at those, what those really are nothing but breakout sessions for training.
2 days.
Yeah, it's 2 solid days of training. And it's everything from how to be a PC to a child, to what you can expect from this child, to how to act around a child that's been abused. It's the whole gamut of what we do in training, and it's extensive. I mean, our members put in a lot of time just getting the training done.
So in the years that you have been a part of this organization, is there a particular child that sticks out to you or an experience that you had with one of them?
There are several that, for myself, uh-huh. personally, that stand out. One for an immediate result. I call it the Baca effect. And as Magnum mentioned, level one is where the board members and whoever's going to be assigned as the primary contacts, that's the first visit to the house. Well, you may come in and that child, or maybe even more than one, will be cowering. They may not even be in the room. And by the time you leave, they're hugging your leg or sitting in your lap just in that 2 or 3 2 hour meeting. That's the Baca effect. And then the other one that I always think of is a child who was severely abused physically, and the recovery is astonishing to see that child today. You would never know it. And that's what this is all about. When you see that, that's your vitamin C, and you know, your multivitamin, seeing these kids and the change in them. And even, you know, we were talking about them empowering and not needing us anymore. Oftentimes people think of that being, okay, well, they're 18 years old, they become an adult. Sometimes it can be when they're younger, because their way of dealing with what they had to deal with is to put it away, and we keep reminding them. So sometimes you have to accept that the child is no longer wanting to participate in the program, but it's because they are moving on, and that's their method of doing so. And then you have some that age out, and then they join. They join Baca as adults.
As I'm sure you know, there are lots of bikers coming to town soon for Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue.
That's right.
Will you guys have a presence there?
Most definitely. In fact, I've got the paperwork out in my saddlebags for our booth permit. Every year we're set up in front of Collier Drug on Dixon Street. They've been a supporter of ours since Bikes and Blues started. And we'll be there Friday and Saturday. Watching the motorcycles going up and down the road.
And folks can come up and chat with you and learn more about your organization.
We'll have our literature out, and we've got stickers for the kids and tattoos that we hand out, and balloons. and we just visit with everybody that we can and try and let them know about the program.
Will you be taking donations as well?
We generally do. We put our little box out, and if people want to donate, they can do it at that time. We just have an awful lot of fun interacting with the kids that come by because some of the families here know us and know what we're about, and then some don't. And so they get interested and come up, and, of course, the kids want a tattoo and a sticker. And so they come up, and we get a chance to visit with them about what it is we do and how we do it.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in and telling me a little bit more about your group.
Thank you for having us.
We just heard from Hawkeye and Magnum, two members of the Northwest Arkansas chapter of Bikers Against Child Abuse. They talked with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. If you're interested in learning more, you can stop by the group's booth on Dixon Street during Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, and that begins tomorrow. Or you could attend the local chapter's next meeting, October 9th, at Cabela's in Rogers. The group meets on the second Sunday of the month. Contact information available at ArkansasBacaWorld.org.